I know my audio sucks. I'll explain later. I'm very sorry about it. Enjoy.
So today's cold open serves a purpose for once.
Ooh.
I know. It's unprecedented. Scary. It's an addendum, actually, to last week's episode, because I made a goof on last episode, and I said that I wanted to talk about something, and then we got to the end of the episode, and I forgot to talk about it. Because last week we talked about $20 Nosebleed, which is a song from the Fall Out Boy album, Fully I Do, that Brendan featured on. But there is, in fact, another song on Fully I Do that Brendan features on along with a ton of other people. And that is the song What a Catch Donnie. And I wasn't going to add, because he only has like a little bitty part towards the end of it. And so we can talk about the whole thing. I wasn't going to dedicate the entire episode to it. But right. I wanted to talk about it, and I think now would be a perfect time to do it. As like an epilogue to last episode and a prequel, a prologue, to this episode. And you'll see why in a second. So,
it's a Miles Catul.
It's a Miles Catul. Save for later. So, What a Catch Donnie is... So, the first thing I'll say is that around the time that Fully I Do came out, I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but haven't really talked about it super in depth. But Fully I Do felt like it was going to be the last Fall Out Boy album.
Sure.
Like, yeah. In general. Because, like, there had been rumors of, like, drama and, like, breakups and stuff for a while around that time, as far as I remember. And I remember going through this album, listening to this album, and hearing What a Catch Donnie, and especially the part that we're going to talk about.
Right.
And being like, wow, this feels like a goodbye, right? And it was really sad, and I was like, if this is the album to go out on, what a great album to go out on. Fully I Do is incredible. But there's a very specific part at the end of the song. So I'm going to play that right now, and then we will talk about the relevance of it really quick. Right?
I will never end up like you. Behind my back, I already am. Keep a calendar this way, you will always know. Self-esteem to match. What a catch. What a catch.
So at the end of the song, there is like this this section right before the outro where you get to this part where Elvis Costello sings the chorus part of Head First Slide into Cooperstown on a Bad Bet, which is a song off of that same album. So you get Elvis Costello, and I talked about how they didn't really use the guests, the features on that album very effectively. So they got Elvis right. Costello to sing this very specific part, right? So it was like, they're calling back to the song that was on this album already. How weird, right? And then Patrick comes back in and sings the chorus again, and then you get a bunch of people singing old Fall Out Boy songs. So in a row, you get Grand Theft Autumn, you get Sugar We're Going Down, you get Dance Dance, you get This Ain't a Scene, It's a Goddamn Arms Race, you get Thanks for the Memories, and you get Growing Up in a row, right? And these are all sung by different people that they've brought in, right? So Grand Theft Autumn is sung by Gabe Saporta, who is the singer for Cobra Starship.
Right.
Then you've got Sugar We're Going Down. We'll get to who that's sung by when we get there. Then you get Dance Dance, which we'll get to that too. Then you've got This Ain't a Scene. Spoilers. Then you've got This Ain't a Scene, which is sung by Doug Newman, who I did not know who Doug Newman was. Doug Newman is, I guess, or like was part of the management company that managed Fall Out Boy at the time, Crush Management. And he's also a singer. And I guess he at one point made like a jazz cover of Dance Dance, which I'll include the link to. But so that's how Doug Newman's on there. Then you've got Thanks for the Memories, sung by Alex DeLeon, who was a singer for The Cab. And then you've got Growing Up, sung by William Beckett, who's a singer for The Academy Is, right?
Yep.
Now, in the middle of all this, you've got Brendan Urie going crazy. Brendan Urie is the person who sung Dance Dance, which at that point was probably their most famous song, right? Everybody knows it. So they got Brendan to sing Dance Dance, which feels symbolic to me. He's Pete's favorite child. And he's going, and he's going crazy. He's being Brendan, right? And so, and I'll get back to Sugar We're Going Down, because it's a perfect segue. So you sing this part, and then you get William Beckett singing Growing Up, and then you got Patrick closing out the song. And so it's this DCD2 parade of friends, right? And all of them like show up in the music video too. Like Panic, all of Panic's in there. This is before the breakup, so Ryan's there, Spencer and Todd are there. Beckett's there, all these people are there. Pete is not in the music video for this song, which is very interesting to me.
Oof.
And they claim that there was a part where like they were gonna cut at the end to Pete like quote going down with the ship, because the whole thing is about like Patrick rescuing all these people from the sinking ship. But I don't believe that. I think that it was because they were having problems and they were maybe not going to continue as a band ever again. So that's the tea there. I just wanted to briefly bring it up because Brendan was on it, so that's another kind of like link to what we were just talking about, the whole feature season or mini season that we're doing.
Yeah.
And it was just like this weird thing about this weird thing at the time where if you were a Fall Out Boy fan, it was just like, this is a great song, this is a great album, but it also feels like it's the last one we're going to get. So, wow, how weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is fucking weird. Thankfully, they didn't break up.
Yeah, and they put out another several bits of banger albums after that.
Yeah.
So,
Fall Out Boy is the Kevin Bacon of emo music.
They know everybody. They're connected to everybody.
They know everybody.
Yeah. Now, the reason why I saved who sang Sugar We're Going Down for last is because the Sugar We're Going Down part of What a Catch Tony was sung by one Travie McCoy. And then you play the yeah for the season intro, and then we go into the podcast. How about that?
Yeah, right, yeah. Oh God!
Cry more, you little bitch!
Welcome to Adam and Sam at the Disco. I don't want to do this week.
Come on,
please come on in. We'll participate. We'll all get medals for it. just close the goddamn door. I'm Adam.
I'm Sam. Did you say we'll participate and get medals, because that's the reason why we didn't record last time? Is because
that's your right. Yeah, we can
participating and getting medals.
And they didn't even get medals. They got like two slips. They've got the slip from the coaches and the slip from the coaches and the principal. Oh. And then they got a nice little like 11 by 17 printout from one of the school photographers. Wow. And of course, all that he could talk about was, because it was an action shot, was how you can see, you know, his little man bit kind of out there in the air. And it's like, why are you talking about this and glorifying it to your friends? A little strange.
Christ. So we were supposed to record last week, and then we couldn't record last week because Adam said the wrong time because he was thinking about time zones.
Yes. And no, it was the problem.
Yeah, that's what he wasn't thinking. And so he had to go to a basketball award ceremony for his son. And it even went later,
every second of it.
Later than he anticipated. And so I was like, we're not recording this week because I don't have the time or the energy or the patience. And so we did. So we're recording right now, which is great, which is a Tuesday,
which is also crammed before a family thing.
Yeah. We have to get some stuff done right before a thing. Gosh, you're fucking overachieving children. Fuck that.
Oh, God, I know. Stop doing things.
Yeah. The reason why it's important to note that Travie McCoy sang that part of that Fall Out Boy song we talked about in the pre-roll, in the cold open, is because today, hey, what song are we talking about, Adam? I'll let you do the honors this time.
You got a key, I'll keep it up. By Travie McCoy and fucking Brendan Urie. There's only one name at the top of this page. Maybe the other one, I don't know. But there's one name at the top of the page here that actually gives me happiness.
You need to stop talking because I need to play that part of the song. Thank you. That's right.
Even to feel that you gotta keep this. Fuck.
We're listening to Keep On Keeping On by Travie McCoy featuring Brendan Urie today. I also need to, I've never heard this song. Until.
Really?
Yeah, until like a couple weeks ago when I finally listened to it.
I love that for you.
You have constantly, and the record will show, you have constantly called it Keep On Keeping Up.
I know. It's, yes.
And I don't know why.
Keep On Keeping On. I don't know why.
I thought it's been called Keep On Keeping Up this whole time, and then I looked it up for episode purposes.
Purposes of this podcast.
And it's called Keep On Keeping On. And I was like, what the fuck? Anyway, I'm not going to chastise you about that too much, but
no, I Berenstein'd the fuck damn door into my head for this song.
The fuck damn door. Well, we do have a couple of things to talk about before we talk about this song, so your execution has been stayed a little bit longer. So the first thing I would like to talk about is, we don't have a whole lot of comments to talk about, but we do have a comment for the Stuck in the Middle episode from Dennis Wakeman. Mentions talking about how he takes it as a lonely song. This is Stuck in the Middle, by the way. Again. Considering at this point no one else is writing the music or is a permanent band member, Spencer went to rehab and Dallin stepped down creatively. I could see that take on it. I do wonder, because if it's a hidden track from Too Weird, does it not? I don't know, because Dallin might have still been there.
That's true. I guess.
So yeah. I'm not sure like how exactly.
But you know, if this was after mastering and all that, maybe
could be
a true bonus song.
A true bonus song. I do love this. So I think it would maybe depend on the timeline, but I could also see that kind of take over, Dennis. So I appreciate that. On the Lullaby episode, Annie Blue 012 says, this song is something I'd find on SoundCloud, instantly be hooked on, and listen to on repeat while rain falls outside my window. Also, reminds me of Kermit the Frog. Reminds me of Kermit the Frog playing banjo to Rainbow Connection.
Jesus Christ! That was so perfect.
Did you like that?
Yeah, that was good. Now you have to do the rest of the fucking episode like that.
Oh, today we're talking about Keep On Keeping On by Travie McCoy featuring Brendan Urie and Panic at the Disco fame. Yay! Did you not know that I could do that?
Not that one. Not that well.
It's not you. Speaking of, here's what I'll do, because Annie Blue 012, they did send us a series of tweets, I believe. Yeah, I remember seeing that. Am I crazy?
I don't believe you are crazy. I just cannot recall the timeline of that.
No, I found it. They posted about Stuck in the Middle. They said, Alrighty, Sam and Adam, good luck deciphering my thoughts on this neat song. Yay! Stuck in the Middle, to me, is like being on a trampoline. As in, yeah, it's bouncy, and that's nice, but the lines aren't near hard enough to hype me up, and so I fall on my back. Well, I'm not getting as much bounce, so I'm just leaning on the trampoline. I can't do this. I can't do this for that one. And then it becomes sort of like they don't know me, you know, feeling othered at a party. And so on the trampoline, I'm laying there kind of just out of it while the other party people still bounce around me. So I'm still bouncing a little, but I'm just not into it. And then they posted a picture that says they don't know where this song was originally sampled from. That, like, guy in the corner looking at the party. Which I think is funny, given that Dennis's take on it was that it's a lovely song, too. So I actually that's really interesting. I know it's a weird fucking metaphor comparison, whatever, lol, but that is how this song makes me feel, and I'm all too familiar with feeling like the odd one out at any sort of gathering. The lyrics, on the other hand, are great, but Brendan's singing is great. I do love how lightly he sings here, but I feel like something's missing, like I'm waiting for a little more build or for some bigger beat drop, and it's just not quite full to me. Colorful in comparison to my strange trampoline imagery. I love the trampoline imagery, it's great. It's like a jog, almost a run, but it's like in a music video where I won't get tired and I'm pumped with energy and all the vibes. Stuck in the Middle doesn't build as much, and it doesn't hit like shoes hitting the pavement running. But now I listen to Stuck in the Middle like 10 times, and I do like it the more I listen, but it's still not that high ranking for me. I love that y'all dig this song as much as I dig Colorful, but it does not quite compare for me to put it in my bottom five of the last ranking. Also, the outro sort of reminds me of the outro to Paramore's Ain't It Fun, with the crowd choir singing the same line phrase repeatedly. Yeah. While one person sings their heart out over the crowd and there's so much space there. But Paramore did it better! Yay!
Jesus fucking Christ.
I agree with that. Paramore did it better. Queen Haley did.
Yeah, probably on that one. I can do that there.
So thank you.
It's just a nice little rock outro.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate that take on it. I think I think that does come from the fact, I think I maybe got a more complete read out of it. Like, I think I don't know what it is about it. I just really, really enjoy it. And I love Colorful, right? But I don't know. There's something about it to me that really hit me when I listened to it the first time. And I was like, oh, hello.
Yeah. I mean, it was a really fucking special song for what it is. Like, damn.
I remember.
I wish it was Elsewhere.
Yeah, I do too. I wish it was like, I could see like with a little bit more oomph to it.
Yeah.
I could see where it could be better with some more oomph. So I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it's a perfect song because, you know what I mean, but it's really. Yeah, I think it's really good. I think it could be like with a little bit something more. It probably could be like a really solid album track. Absolutely.
Yeah. If it were, you know, completed to, you know, full fruition.
Yeah. But what I will say is that I remember when I read those tweets from Annie. I remember being like, "Let me listen to it again. Really give it some thought." I listened to it again, and I was just like, "It's still fucking bop!" So I was like, really into it. I was still really into it. Yeah. So while I respect and appreciate Annie's opinion, that could not be me. I really love that song.
Yes, it's real special, and I think Annie being one of those is the most vocal of our listening group is also a treat. Truly.
Yeah.
Probably has the most extensive way of getting to us that's not Kirsten or somebody we personally know.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's that. Do we have any other... I think Kirsten sent us some stuff. I did send both of you and Kirsten, a link to Ryan Kinnega's dad in an interview, Coach Kinnega, and neither of you said anything. So
when was this?
It was a couple of years ago.
Oh, Interesting.
I just thought it was funny.
Oh, I see it now.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's... Kanega. God damn it.
I will say, here's some news. About a week ago, John Walker John Walker posted a picture of Panic, him, Brendan, Ryan, and Spencer from 2006 on his Instagram page. So I'm sure that sent a bunch of people to it further.
Yes. Housed in his mom's basement or something like that? Mm-hmm. The mysterious longtime picture.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, also in connected news, Gloom Division came out.
That's exactly what I was gonna bring up next. Gloom Division,
yeah.
The newest album from I don't know how, but they found me. Project of Dallin Weeks, Get Down on It himself, came out. I've had a chance to listen to it several times. I'd only listened to it twice when we were supposed to record last time, and I've now had many more chances to listen to it. And I assume you also have had chances to listen to it.
Yeah, I think I've had about a good 4 or 5 times, yeah.
I really like it.
I really like it, too. I think, you know, I was a naysayer whenever I listened originally. Mm-hmm. And that guy can shut the fuck up, is what I'll say. Fucking idiot. I really do like this. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know, because when did I listen to that? Was that, like, Vices, maybe?
You're talking about Razzitaz? Yeah.
Yes. So I had listened to that maybe right before we did Too Weird or something. And then I think listening to this after getting through Too Weird and having awareness of I don't know how, but they found me, like, helped me like this more. And obviously there's no good through line to Too Weird aside from Dallin Weeks, but like, this was something I found this much more enjoyable to me than Razzmatazz, which again, not bad. Mm-hmm. Just didn't have a lot for me there.
Yeah, I think overall, I still probably like Razzmatazz just a little bit better. But I really, really love the vibe of this one. It's this very like synthy. It's like very 80s vibey. I'm glad we actually did, because we were going to talk about it when we were going to record last week. And I'm glad that we actually didn't, because I had more time to listen to it. Because before, I think I appreciated it, but I didn't have a chance to really like listen pretty thoroughly.
Yeah.
This time I listened to it, I was able to pick out like a few songs I really, really dug. But I think overall, and I think this is going to sound like a compliment, because, and I do mean it as like a really great compliment, it is such an easy album to listen to. Did you get, like...
It truly is.
It's just, like, it slips by, and, like, not in a bad way. Mm-hmm. It's just, like, all the songs really flow nicely into one another, and it just kind of, like, passes by. I listened to it 4 times today without realizing it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I was just, like, doing, like... Here, it's I was like, just... Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's, like, a brisk 40 minutes, so I can definitely see how.
Yeah, I was just, like, doing, like, because, like, I pick, like, a day of the week to do all of my boring, like, Excel spreadsheet shit, and today was the day for me.
Sure.
And I just put it on, and I was like, holy shit, it is, like, I've listened to it 4 times. It's wild. Yeah. It's just an easy album to listen to.
It really is. It really is. Give me 2 of them that you really like.
I'll give you 3.
Fuck you, I said 2.
Well, I'm going to give you 3, so fuck you.
Fuck me.
Yeah. So the 3 that I really, really dig are Speak of the Devil, 6 Feet, and Satanic Panic. Those are like my top 3.
Fuck yeah.
Those are so good. Cool. Those are so good. What about you?
I've got 6 Feet, Satanic Panic, and Sunnyside.
Sunnyside is really good. I like Sunnyside a lot.
Sunnyside is fun. Like, it took me a while to realize that, like, yeah, that really is another dude singing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yep, the other dude fits really well, though. Mm-hmm. 6 Feet, man, just that fuck around so and good, find out. And the way he, like, uses and throws his voice at the same time. Oh, it's so good.
It is so good, yeah. I really like the groove on Speak of the Devil.
Yeah,
like I love the way it starts, like that, like you're rewinding a VCR tape. It's like, wow, and then it like goes.
Yes,
in. It's really good.
I'm still like, I'm still kind of stuck on What Love to Me just sounds like a modern day Harry Styles track that, and like, it's not bad. And then I've definitely come around on, cause what was the other one? Like what was one of the other singles?
Gloomtown Rats.
Yeah. Like I feel a lot higher on that one now.
What I will say about those two is now, because the fact that he and Fall Out Boy did this too, when they released So Much for Stardust, they released these two songs as singles that were good, but there was something about them. And then when you listen to them in the context of the album, they get much better. And so Gloomtown Rats and What Love, I think, feel better in the context of the album. And so you appreciate them as singles more.
For sure. I can dig that.
Yeah. I don't think Idiots of Oz is also really good.
Idiots of Oz is an interesting like ending track.
Yeah.
Really?
It does feel like it should keep going after Idiots of Oz, but
it does.
I like it as a song.
Yeah, because if I were to swap like Idiots of Oz with Sunnyside or Satanic Panic, I'd still probably say close with Idiots of Oz, but I don't. I want more, Dallin. More.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think the longest song on the album is 3:32, and that's the first track, is Downside.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like a really, yeah, it's 3:32, I think. Then Infatuation is 3:27, and then Kiss and Tell is 3:28. Everything else is like 3:20 or less. Yeah.
Some modern day pop songs, right?
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's very, like I said, it's a very brisk 40-minute listen. It's very easy to listen to, and it's very good. It vibes really hard. I think it's a great album. Yeah, it is.
Razzmatazz had a few like slow points.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad. I mean, I know that, you know, what the fuck was it? Need You Here. Like, definitely made me fucking cry. You know, just having an emotional resonance too. But this one is just a fucking straight come in for our 40-minute like theme ride of fun weirdness.
Yeah, there were a lot. From the Gallows was another one like that too, where it was like a little bit more of like a slow dance on Razzmatazz, where A letter was kind of like the slowdown point on this one.
Yeah, a little bit.
But not in a bad like, way.
In the context of like all of these lyrics, you know, he kind of rides the fuck the bourgeoisie kind of thing a little bit, while also just throwing in a little bit of life. Like, it's not a statement album or anything like that. It's just here for the fun.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And who doesn't agree, you know, fuck the rich kids, right? So I am so glad that that came out Friday and we got to experience it. Friday?
Thursday. Yeah, Friday. Because I remember listening to it on the day we were supposed to record, so it would have been Friday. Yeah.
Right. Yep.
It's
been days. We had a nice little interlude of serving management democracy in the middle of that, so it's hard to remember.
Yeah, we played Helldivers 2. Which, by the way, for anybody who's curious, who may have seen articles about Helldivers 2 and not known anything about it, it is not promoting fascism. It's a fucking satire, like Starship Troopers was. Yeah. There's a fucking contingent of really idiotic people that see Helldivers 2 and think, fascism seems cool, and that's not what it's about. It's a fucking satire, because media literacy is fucking in the toilet.
Yes. I mean, media literacy these days is the subtext, is text, is the entirety of everything these days. You cannot have any underlying anything without, you know, the open message, or even the one that's in your face, being the only message possible. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers don't go to war. Okay, they probably do. And shout for democracy 5 times and then yell, get some. So
yeah, I'm sure I wouldn't say nobody does. I'm sure a lot of
them. Oh, yeah, probably people that shan't go to war do go to war, do that. But I liked how you guys were in your Robo Land, and I was just in the fuck off Bugs place.
Everybody
and
then we seems all to think to that kill the, each other that the bugs are easier than the robots, and I don't fucking get it. I don't fucking get it, because the robots are so much easier than the bugs. I don't.
He is me, and I believe
the robots are like organized. The bugs are chaos.
I think being with a group is great for robots, truly. Because
we were doing two people for hours on robots, and it was like not that bad. And we tried bugs like twice, and we were just like, "Fuck this!" So I don't know. No more Helldivers.
No more Helldivers. We'll have to find more time to play. But yes, our time of talking about managed democracy here is
right. It's going to be hard to find time in the middle of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, but I will endeavor to make time to solve these two fucking rules this thing.
Yeah, I'm giving myself game whiplash as my closing statement of playing both Helldivers 2 and returning to Baldur's Gate 3 at the same time.
Are you doing that?
What a fucking idiot. I am close to Act 2, so I'm in the Underdark, and it is fucking scaly.
Yeah, the Underdark is where I gave up. That's where I was just like, no, this sucks. Ugh.
And then I unlocked the Illithid powers and took it.
No.
Went around and talked to all the people, got made fun of, and came back and reloaded my save. So gotcha.
I got
no Illithid powers for me.
I got to the town that you're supposed to go to in the Underdark, and that's where I gave up. So you might not
be sure. Oh, I can see. Yeah.
Anyway, enough stalling, Adam.
Don't fucking ask me.
That we like to call, what do you think about this song?
It's fucking so grating. Have you ever, like, you know a song that you just don't fuck with whatsoever when you remember the first time you heard this song, the song, and you're like, I don't want this.
You don't like the uh-ohs in this one?
There's things I can... Ugh. That's still not it for me on this one. It works everywhere else, but somehow not here. And the bridge, dare I say, the bridge makes me want to fucking rip my ears off. Like, what is your fucking point? What are you saying? I don't think you watched this fucking movie. You just fucking found a way to rhyme Darren Aronofsky with something, and you had to write on that dick of lyrics, to be more specific, not Darren Aronofsky's.
Right.
I fucking do not like this song, man. Yeah.
I wasn't sure, but I'm glad we got some confirmation.
Yeah, you weren't sure when we had definitely talked that you could torture me with this every year and it'd have a higher effect on my psyche and emotional stability than fucking Feels Like Christmas or white kids playing in the street. Yeah. Or even fucking This Is Halloween. Yeah. We could do any of those again if I never have to talk about this song one more fucking time. One this time.
Truly. We don't call it that. We call it Stuck in the Middle.
Thankfully, this won't be stuck in the middle of shit.
Not in my house. Not in this house.
This good Christian household.
I'm not a fan of this song. I'll start there. Yeah. And here's what I'm going to say. This is what I was telling you. I told you that I had a hot take. This might be a hot take for some people to listen to, because I would assume potentially that there's maybe some crossover in the audience of this podcast of people who listen to Panic at the Disco, who also potentially listened to Travis McCoy or Gym Class Heroes or something. Right. I think that Travis McCoy, and let's be frank here, Travis McCoy, because he went by Travis for a really fucking long time. He started going by Travis because he thought it sounded cooler, and it's not.
Yeah.
Travis McCoy, is like the basic creator wrestler version of what a rapper is. I think he's the default. When you, like, to use another video game analogy, I think when you go into a game where you create a character, he is what is, and it's about rap music. He is the model which you are served, and then you can create off of that and make it better.
Yeah, the Def Jam icon of rappers.
Yeah, I might make some people upset with that. I don't care. It's true. Search your feelings.
Yeah,
it's like, because it's just like, it is hard to say, like, the fundamentals of what a rapper is, he can do, right? Like, he successfully raps. Like, he is not, like, I wouldn't call him, like, a bad rapper, technically speaking, but like as sure. in the genre, he is like he is just the most basic fucking dude. All of his songs
yeah.
are about how when he was a kid, he was chubby and ugly, yes. and all the girls hated him. And he's yeah. gonna grow up and be better, and he's gonna build a better life for his family. And it's all about his family. And right. don't talk to my family. And I'm yeah. now I'm cool and I'm rich and yeah. I can do stuff in LA. That is every yeah. Travis McCoy song. That is every Gym Class Hero song. That is this song.
Generic hip hop song number 147.
Right. Yeah. Legit. Like that is when, and I used to fucking, and I used, and I still bop with like some Gym Class Hero songs, right? Like there's still like because of course, but like fundamentally speaking, it's basic standard. Like this is the gap of rap music.
Yeah. And I like to kind of follow up with that, like, I do like, and it's also fairly generic for what it is. Stereo Hearts, you know, by Gym Class Heroes with Adam Levine. Like,
Like generic rap man with generic white man. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Hell yeah. You know, generic hip hop song number 149. Yeah. Right. Like, there's nothing original about the song. There's nothing really that's going to stand out to me. It's just the fact that like, and this song came out in what, like 2011. Stereo mm-hmm. Hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, and Carrie's my wife's a big fucking Maroon 5 fan.
And I don't know if this is even a hot take, but it might upset Carrie, and so my apologies. Maroon 5's only good album is their first one. Songs About Jane is an incredible pop album, and then everything after that is fucking doo-doo garbage.
Well, I can assure you that is not a controversial take in this house. True.
Okay, cool.
We're all right there with you. Perfect. 100% agree.
Perfect.
He kind of does like, he has the same Brendan Urie trajectory. Fucking, where he like, the longer he went on, somehow like the more he explored with his voice, he explored it in the wrong direction.
Right.
Because Songs About Jane had so much fucking emotion to it. And once you get up to like V and shit, here we are. This is a panic Maroon 5 mm-hmm. podcast now.
Whatever.
Just fucking off the fucking wagon with his bullshit. Like, I don't care anymore. What's that one? Like, fucking Animals. Go fuck yourself. I don't care for that. That's like the fucking... Emperor's New Fucking Clothes fucking songs. Like, god damn it, if there is a good through line between both artists, it's right there. But yeah, like Stereo Hearts, I really fucking like, and you would think that like with the one generic white guy that they could pull for that, like to do that again 3 years later, that you could pull generic white guy number two and be just as well off. But I think it's a more of a reliance on like Travis McCoy's way of boring storytelling. You fucking hit it on the head. Like, this has all been done by him. Like, none of this is new.
I need to express this really quick, because you saying that actually hit something for me. Travis McCoy's best songs are songs. So one of my favorite songs by Gym Class Heroes is Peace Sign. Has fucking Busta Rhymes on it, right?
Nice.
Girlfriend has that sample from Supertramp, sung by Patrick Stump, right? This has Brendan. That had Adam Levine on it. Like, all of his best songs feature people that are there to elevate his very basic, repetitious storytelling.
Right. I think it, like, kind of going off of what we had said last week, where, you know, Fully Ado was just full of features, like, and they didn't nail those features mm-hmm. all the time. Like, Travis McCoy's the kind of guy who feels like if he needs a feature, he needs the feature.
He needs to fucking nail it.
Yes. And sadly, fucking does not
hear. On this one, no. And when you were saying that about, like, bringing in generic white guy number two for this one. I have some stuff to say. So let's actually start talking about the song. Actually, let's do the credits and then we'll talk about the song. So we've got, there's not a lot of credits in here actually, so I'll just read this really quick.
But there's one very important one right now for the show.
Mm-hmm. featuring Brendan Urie. Obviously, we knew that. That's why we're talking about it. Boy forehead. produced by Needles, Kari Kane, better known by his stage name Needles, and Bryce Walker. Written by, and holy shit, Travie McCoy, Brandon Urie, Needles, Leon Mike Michels, Nick Mofshan, Toby Panza, Jeffrey Silverman, Butch Walker, and Lady Ray. How the fuck do you need this many people to write this song?
Oh, buddy.
I don't understand.
Don't recall, though, what's coming our way is by Panic! At the Disco.
No, I get that. But, like, again, we talked about how, like, all of the songs are the same basic story, and the song is about, like, him, how he's a chubby little bastard with a nephew, Little Debbie's next, and what he liked him most for the main effort and passion. That's his old song. And that's what this song is. That was Peace Sign with Busta Rhymes.
Well,
like, how do you need that?
Several people in a... Is it Keep On Keeping Up or is it Keep On Keeping On? Four people needed to decide that. Yeah. I could have done it for them.
I will say there's only two comments in Genius here. We can read them now. One person said underrated bop. Not true. Other person said this song honestly is the most inspirational thing I've heard in several months. Thank you, Travie and Brendan, for being the world's light crying emoji.
Fuck off times two.
God, what must your life be like?
Why? You want to know what emotional state you have to be in
for this to be
of all songs.
We shouldn't make fun of it because everybody's thing is different, but like, I don't understand. Of course. I don't understand. It was also released on March 23rd, 2014. So there we go. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about the intro and the chorus because it starts with the chorus. Okay. We're going to talk about that, and we get that out of the way because it's the only thing Brendan does in this entire song. We can talk about it and move on.
I will need you to tell me where this intro comes from because I forgot that L key on the keyboard is fucking boinked.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. All right, now that we're back from that, Adam's like the letter L on his keyboard. Yeah. So he cannot look up Lee Fields.
Lee Fields.
Lee Fields is a soul singer. What do they call him? He was called like Little JB or like JB Jr. or something like that because like he reminded people of James Brown. So they call him JB or Little JB or something like that. But he has a group called Lee Fields and the Expressions, and the song is that little sample at the beginning is from the song Faithful Man, which actually came out in 2012, I believe. So it's pretty relatively recent for how old Lee Fields is or was. I think he's still alive. Is he still alive?
I would love to tell you. I would love to assist on anything about E Feeds.
Let's see. Yeah, he is still alive. 73. Yeah, Little JB for his physical and vocal resemblance with James Brown. Yeah. He's worked with Kool and the Game,
nice.
Kool and the Gang, Hip Huggers, O.E. Wright, Daryl Banks, and Lil Royal. Has also worked with B.B. King, Clarence Carter, Dr. John, Tyrone Javis, Johnny Taylor, Denise LaSalle, Bobby Blue Bland, Betty Wright, The Manhattans, Lil Milton, and Bobby Womack. He recorded his first single in 1969 and is still active. His recent work with The Expressions... including his albums Faithful Man 2012, Special Night 2017, It Rains Love in 2019. Wow. He also provided additional vocals for the James Brown biographical movie Get On Up in 2015.
Wow. Hell yeah.
So anyway, that's what that's from. You can't make me do wrong. I've always been a faithful man until you came along. Which is wild because that has nothing to do with the song.
Absolutely not.
Zero to do with
and you know, again, looping back to the Six Riders, people talked about this
Yeah, this was song by committee. There was like, what? I don't know. But we got the chorus.
Know, just throw weird. Something.
No, no. So we got the chorus.
Just, yeah. Fucking, have you watched the video for this song?
Yeah, probably of course. Of course I did.
Okay. So not only do you have very basic ass fucking generic white man number two doing this boring fucking chorus, then you have generic white man number two
dances.
Fucking doing the worst white man effort of a hip hop fucking dance you have ever seen in your life. This is what seventh graders do at school dances. Yeah.
His facial expressions, though, are a joy. Like every frame is a painting in this music video if you haven't seen it. So I'll include the link to watch the music video. But like, you can play this and pause it and you're going to get a fucking meme reaction out of Brendan Urie's face the entire time.
Like, I think there's this one that I just passed by where like he's kind of shrugged over and he's got both hands jiving out. Like, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great. I don't know what I would use that in context for, but everything.
Probably everything. Oh man, I just got the best one. Hold on. Again, this was an accident. Every frame of painting. I'll put this in the show notes too. Because what a boy forehead. Well, that's Boyd Forehead right there. Oh, man. That's on Boyd Forehead's driver's license.
Fuck yeah, it is. Oh, man, that's great.
We can talk about the core, like the contents of the chorus in just a second. So you're here talking about like this is generic white man number two. Brendan Urie at this point, this is between Too Weird, this is going into Bachelor, this is when Brendan Urie is doing like some really interesting shit, right? This is like his time to do interesting shit.
Yes.
And this is right before it coasts into like the whole the trend that we've noticed of him like kind of going more generic pop and whatever.
Right.
Death of a Bachelor was like very interesting, like vocally to me.
Yeah, it is.
Even though it was like the starting point, right?
For better and for worse, yes.
Now you have Brent, and we talked about how Travis McCoy needs, when he has features, he needs those features to fucking hit, right?
Yeah.
You have Brendan Urie, who we know can do incredible things with his voice. Even when he like kind of transitions, like we've seen live performances, he can do some incredible shit with his voice. And I'm counting here. 1, 2, 3, 4. The chorus in the song is sung 4 times. It is the only time you hear Brendan Urie. Dude. It is exactly the fucking same
every time.
4 times. There is a part of this song where the song slows down and it is the exact same chorus. He doesn't slow his voice. They don't. To the point where it's not, they had him record this chorus 1 fucking time and then they used that same fucking. That's the thing. I bet you if we like take each chorus and put them next to each other and compare the waveforms, it'll be fucking identical they recorded this chorus once and said, this is the chorus we're going to use for the entire fucking song. I don't know why they can only use them for a specific amount of time or whatever. The exact same chorus. He didn't like do anything different. Like the song fucking slows down.
Yeah. If I had a nickel for every time the chorus sounded the same, I'd only have 4 nickels, but it's weird it happened 4 times.
Right, exactly. It's just like the song slows the fuck down.
Like we'll get to Molly, right?
Yeah.
And and even then, like most of that sounds the same.
But does interesting shit with his voice, right? Yes. Yeah.
And I think there's a part in Molly that like still is a little different from, I think he gets the bridge along with the chorus of Molly. And that sounds so much fucking better than this.
Yeah.
Like there's, I think it's that whole lack of exploratory anything. Mm-hmm. Like this could be a Justin Bieber fucking chorus and you'd be like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Ah, and you know, yeah, of course, to your point, like generic white guy number two, like it sucks to say, but you can't tell me that this just can't be that. If I think if you had 4 choruses and even fucking two out of the four sounded different. Any amount sounded different would be great. Like if the final line of
like a fucking,
the fucking chorus.
I'm Travis, my boy, I'm begging you for a fucking key change or fucking something, my dude. Like, what the fuck? It's just insane to me that you have this like tremendous talent, this tremendous vocal talent who is still at this point doing very interesting things with his vocals. And this is what happens.
This could have been peak Brendan Urie feature. Truly. Like you're with somebody on your label. Clearly your label knows what you're capable of and you get served this. Like,
And you know, the worst part about it is too, is like, if he was singing something fucking interesting, you might even be able to excuse it, but you know what it boils down to? Don't give up. Okay. Literally, it's just keep on keeping on. Yeah. Even with the feeling you're going to keep losing, you got to come back strong. And I'm not a slut for the uh-ohs.
No, I'm not. There are the nipples are so soft.
The nipples are flaccid. My apologies, Annie, but I can only tell the truth. The nipples are flaccid. Ugh. And and then it repeats itself. And so it's just literally, it's just like, don't give up. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't like it, man. I don't fucking like it.
Anyway, let's listen to literally, that's it. That's all we can do. Brendan's done. Bye. No more. Bye, Brendan. Yeah. No more Brendan. That's all we can talk about, Brendan, because it's like, it's not even like we can't come back to the chorus later and be like, oh, listen to this interesting thing, even though the words didn't change. Can't even say that. Bye, Brendan. Right. That's all. Now we have to talk about fucking Travis McCoy.
Bye, Boyd.
God, bye, Boyd. Hey, Travi.
Hope you find your dad.
Oh, God. Anyway, verse one in the bridge.
Yeah. God damn it.
Of his youth with his head down, chubby, fugly, awkward walking, not much of a talker. He was good at setting bad examples, but bad at math. Crunch time, he kept it moving like the lunch line, working on his salad bars and fruit punch lines. His simple triplets had his English teacher's tongue tied. As his thoughts pirouette for perfection in the Aronofsky black swan reflection, he plucked feathers from his back and watched his bottom limbs bend forward towards something more. He wasn't sure. He plucked feathers from his back and watched his bottom limbs bend forward.
The fucking bridge. I don't want to talk about the bridge. Okay. All right. He spent most of his youth with his head down, chubby, fugly, awkward, walking, not much of a talker.
Time out. I played it already. Did you fucking know that Travis McCoy's real last middle name is Lazarus?
Oh, God.
His parents named him Travis Lazarus McCoy.
Too bad it wasn't fucking Travis Lazarus McCaverus or something like that.
Lazarus McCaverus. It's Lazzy. Again, verse one, literally, I was fat and ugly. I didn't talk a lot.
Yeah. Every other Travis McCoy song that we've heard up to this point.
Like, and I'm bad at the left brain shit, but I'm good at the right brain shit. And my English teachers, I ran circles with them. I'm such a talented lyricist, even though it took seven people to write this song about my life.
Oh my God.
I don't know that I expected to say some stuff about Travis McCoy. I did not expect this to turn into a read of Travis McCoy.
Yes.
But I'm kind of glad we're here.
Like, this is autobiographical in some sense. The biographical autobiography, given six people, you know, wrote this. Fucking, what the fuck? Crunch time, he kept it moving like the lunch line. And I know people have heard it. I know people do know that I do love rap music and hip hop, but oh my God. What the hell? I think every time that I heard this, different lines would stick out so bad.
I'm working on a salad, bars, and fruit punchlines. Working on his, hold on, I need to bring this. Working on his salad, bars, and fruit punchlines. It took 7 fucking people to write that. Do you understand? Yeah. How fucking wild that is? Holy fuck. Okay, Adam, can I tell you something? I came into this being like, I don't really like this song. It's not my favorite song. I fucking hate this song, Adam.
I fucking hate
this song. Oh my god.
All right, can we do it? Can we start it?
He starts. We have to talk about the line. He starts a pure way for perfection. And Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan reflection. And I love that
he practiced feathers from his back and watching.
No. We can't. I'm not done. I know.
I don't think you should.
Adam,
yes.
Can I tell you? Listen, yeah. after the ranking episode, edging is legal. You're going to need to hold it for just a little bit longer.
No, because I want you to keep talking about this dumb fucking Darren Aronofsky Black Swan line. I do.
It wasn't even a clever line. It's just the line is, you know how Darren Aronofsky directed Black Swan? That's it. That's the line. And I love that the genius.
Black Swan. Oh god. As Denis Villeneuve Doom reflection.
The line is, and Darren Aronofsky's Black Swan reflection, and the genius annotation is, Darren Aronofsky is the director of Black Swan. No shit.
Wow.
For realsies? No way.
Love it, genius. Real helpful.
Holy shit. Anyway, go ahead with the bridge, because I know you want to talk about it.
I do. He plucked feather from his back and watched his bottom limbs bend forward toward something more. He wasn't sure. And then it repeats it. And then it just repeats the same fucking stupid part of the bridge again. And then it comes back and haunts you, like the chorus, several times in this fucking thing. Yeah. You know what Travie McCoy never did? Mm. Watch the fucking movie Black Swan.
So listen to this, and I don't know where this comes from. The genius annotation says that McCoy says. So there's not a citation of this, so take with a grain of salt. But it says, McCoy says that the Black Swan character, the evil in all of us, can morph into something larger than we realize if we let it run rampant, that we can devolve into something dark before the light in us ever realize what's happening. Which, the line doesn't read that to me.
Not at fucking all. Like, that tells me that he watched the movie, I guess. That tells me that he's, you know, done Swan Lake. He knows what... He's watched the movie. He knows what happens when the bitch in your life, which is you, goes crazy, and that hits everybody because we all hit rock bottom at one point. But this line is not the Natalie Portman character. This line is nothing in this movie. This line has nothing to do with Darren Aronofsky. I don't get it. Because all right, go. You go.
Because the way that, to me at least, the way that this reads, he's talking about his bottom limbs bend forward towards something more, indicates to me that it's like I meant for something more, which is not what the Black Swan imagery would indicate to me. And it just seems like it was written in a way that is deliberately misinterpreting what it is.
Yeah. Holy, yes. I think what really fucks with me about this bridge is, you know, they were convinced they had a great point. And that's what kills me. Like, you know that the writers of this song,
they pat themselves on the fucking back so hard. Dude, after
they
that.
Did. Yeah. Like, after that Darren Aronofsky line, they just fucking led into this imagery that they do take from the movie while completely missing the point of the fucking movie. This would be like watching fucking, oh my God, not Blue Velvet, Perfect Blue, and being like, Phantom is good.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of the read on this. Like, I just don't fucking understand. Because, you know, and I guess, like, that's the best through line, because, of course, they're one and the same almost, you know. But fucking, you can't have media, and like you said, you can't have media literacy and have none at the same time,
right,
and then exactly. Have the part where you don't have it be your loudest part.
It's so fucking, it's wild. It's wild, honestly. It's just fucking crazy. Anyway,
I just can't. Like, I think this is where everything in this song, which is already not good, just flushes itself down the fucking toilet. Like, yeah. At this point, I don't fucking care anymore. I'm out. Like, and we have made it through the chorus and the verse and the bridge. One verse.
Yeah.
Of which there are what, like three?
Yeah, it just keeps on. It keeps on keeping on. It never gives up. It takes its own fucking advice. It's insane to me.
I'm Sam too.
Yeah. So, verse two, whatever. Verse two.
Yeah, if we have to, I mean, I would probably should.
Yeah. Raised in a broken home, built brick by government cheese brick. Back and forth between parents making them on his knees sick. Every night praying for a little change. But the tooth fairy was broke and off a little. He used to stand in front of mirrors with his toothbrush, star searching. But he ain't had to search far. He was smart and made a pact with himself with a smirk. And made a vow that one day his dad would never ever have to work. He plucked feathers from his back and watched his bottom limbs bend forward towards something more. He wasn't sure. He plucked feathers from his back and watched his bottom limbs bend forward towards something more. Again, it's the same shit that you always talked about. Like, my parents were divorced. Yeah. And I'm on his knees every night praying for a little change, but the tooth fairy was broke and offered little hope.
Whoa. Why are you praying to the tooth fairy?
Because the thought process here is just like, okay, the tooth fairy is somebody that brings money that brings kids money.
Right.
But you have to have a tooth. So you're saying that, like, he yanked a tooth out every night?
Yes.
And offered it to the tooth fairy, hoping that a little change. Like you can tell with some of these lines that there was like a thought there.
Yes.
And then they were just like, that's enough. We don't have to think any further. Put it in the song. It's just like, it's not clever.
No.
He's like, standing in front of mirrors with his toothbrush, star searching.
Yeah. I don't even know if in a better song. But the tooth fairy was broke and offered little hope. Like, after this whole couplet, like, of on his knees every night praying for a little change, but the tooth fairy was broke and offered little hope. Like, this wouldn't work anywhere.
No,
I don't think
individually. Like, if they were individually in different songs that had like actual thought put into them, then they might be.
Yeah,
maybe. They might be interesting lines somewhere else. But put together here, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Not at fucking all.
With toothbrush, like, you just. Searching.
Like, we just kept up with this kind of tooth metaphor. Like, the tooth fairy, the toothbrush.
And like, what is
what's
that
next? Like, fucking Listerine?
With his toothbrush star searching, but he didn't have to search far. He was smart and made a pact with himself with a smirk and made a vow one day his dad would never have to worry. So he's talking about how for some reason he was praying to the tooth fairy, and while he was brushing his teeth, he was like, I'm going to be a star.
Yeah.
I promise myself. Is that... That's nothing.
Yeah, no. Like, I guess you're going to have a life in Colgate commercials if really all that you're saying you're going to do with your life. Like, none of this is working. None of these concepts are even, like, in the first verse, which I understand you're trying to tell a story of your life, but... I don't track where any of this kind of fits together. I mean, because we went from being fucking chubby, fugly, and our teachers really doubted us and thought we were fucking stupid, which I don't know why.
No. His simple triplets had the English teacher's tongue tied.
Oh my God.
Yes. He was too advanced for the English teacher.
He was above.
He was above the English teacher. They didn't think he was stupid. They had nothing to say because he was so much better. He was so talented.
Let me fucking tell you. This song right here kind of says otherwise.
Yeah. Right. Six people. How many six people?
If you could have chose a more braggadocious song, it wouldn't have been this one.
No.
And then it leads.
Nine people, I'm sorry.
Fuck me. Oh my God. Even worse.
And generously, seven if we take Brendan and Butch out, assuming that they were only there for the chorus. That Butch was only there for the Brendan part, and that's it. Assuming that generously, seven people wrote this fucking song.
Butch took the production role and got his friend a job, and he was like, here we go, we can get some credits and a little payday. But and then it leads again into the bridge, which we've already established doesn't make any fucking sense. So it comes off of this what they feel is a very inspirational, has to be to them, very inspirational verse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I made this vow to my dad, he wouldn't have to want for anything.
Right.
Super inspirational shit. We all feel, you know, we all feel that way about parents. And then, you know, life happens, I guess. And we realize that shit's expensive unless you're like a football player.
Yeah.
So it continues to not make any fucking sense.
Yeah, because like, so this next chorus, is this the chorus where it slows down, or is that at the end?
I think that's after verse. No, it should be this one, I guess. Yeah,
maybe.
Nope.
Okay, so,
but the faces just let's get listen better to verse three,
because like, holy shit, it just feels like it should be over, and it's not over. It's never over.
Right.
Turn in, makes good on his promise. Just to say we did it, taking trips to the Bahamas. Now your boy bank account got a few more commas. That hard work pay off, don't it? Plus it feel good when you can say you own it. No rent, lease, loan, or mortgage. That generated money, no shortage. He from his back and watched his bottom limbs bend forward towards something more. He wasn't sure. He plucked feathers from his back and watched his bottom limbs bend forward towards something more. Towards something more.
It's the exact same conclusion that every single one of the songs did. Wow, look at me now. I got famous and now I have money and the hard work paid off and I didn't give up.
Yeah.
And my bank account stacked. Like,
no, I'm sorry. We've got to do this correctly here for this.
Go ahead.
Cause just to say we didn't take the trips to Bahamas, now your boy bank account got a few more commas.
Sure.
Please. He's stacked.
I also love that it's just like the way he's counting time. Fast forward a few 24 hours.
Just a few. Yeah.
Just a few.
Just a few. Just a few days.
Yeah, just a few days. You know, it's
Wednesday in 1997, I was praying to the Tooth Fairy, and now Friday of the same year, we're fine. We've got this. I think this is maybe why we shouldn't and totally should have done this song, because it's just so bad. And that's what makes this episode so enjoyable. Because imagine if we came into this from two different perspectives. Imagine how grating this would have been.
Yeah.
And I may be harder on this song than you, just because I guess I've had the burden of carrying it with me for a fucking decade. But fuck me. I would go listen to Crazy Town telling me how to bake a fucking cake.
Sure.
On repeat.
Sure.
Over this. But we're not that.
No.
We chose a different path in life to be a different podcast. And sometimes I regret it. Just. No, I don't. I truly love it. I love every episode, even the fucking ones for this fucking song.
Now, I wish that there was more to analyze here, but there's not. It's literally just
no.
I was a child, and now I'm a man. I'm making money. How cool is that?
Yeah,
and that is literally all of Travis McCoy's songs are. I sucked when I was a kid,
and yeah.
I wish that I was better. Now I'm rich. Isn't that great for me? That's literally all of that's the progression of every Travis McCoy song. And just to prove, because now after verse three, you hear the bridge again, and then you hear the slow chorus, and then the chorus is repeated with just like drums in the background. Just to prove that I'm not fucking crazy, I'm gonna play here the slowed down chorus, like the instruments drop out, and it's just like supposed to be this moment in the song.
Cool
it's just,
moment.
It's just the same Brendan singing. So I'm gonna play that, and you tell me if I'm nuts. It's the same thing, and then that's the fucking song. Thank fuck.
That's bad. Let me leave listeners with one thing here. No rent, lease, loan, or mortgage. That generator money, no shortage. And that's the song, and I hated every second of it.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I would like to this day, even enjoy the fucking chorus for the fucking one reason we're here, I can't even do that. I can't fucking enjoy that. What do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
I hope, and this is an invitation, if you like this song,
mm-hmm.
I want your vote on this episode, and I want it. And I know it's always one, but at this point, it should be like at least six.
Sure. Carrie think about this?
How do you feel about Keep On Keeping On?
Fuck that.
Got it.
Thank you, Crypt Keeper. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Fuck that. I know the other day I text her and she's like, it's just a real bad fucking song. Yeah. This song does not have love in this house. Just none.
Should have been your wedding song instead of.
Oh my God. Could you imagine? Immediate divorce.
Yeah. It's an omen. If that's your wedding song, it's an omen.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Just put it in the book of life for us.
Yeah.
I can't. Let's see. I said the other night, you know, we're only gonna do the one, and she said fun, short and sweet because it fucking sucks.
And we've been recording for like an hour, 10 minutes.
Oh yeah.
Only like 20 of that's been about the song though, so I guess. Yeah.
Right. Which is good, because if we paid any more attention to this fucking song, we'd be doing ourselves a disservice.
Yeah. Well, next week we're talking about Love in the Middle of the Firefight by Dylan Francis, right?
And love it.
And that is all Brendan. We've gone from a gross misuse of Brendan to his arm that is literally nothing but Brendan. Because Dylan Francis is not a singer. Dylan Francis is a DJ and has features singing songs. And Brendan is one of those songs. And we're going to talk about that song next week.
We'll be happier.
We will be happier. I just realized something. And so if my audio this week is not as crisp as it normally is, I apologize, because I just realized that my audio is coming from the headphones that I'm wearing and not my fancy microphone.
Interesting. So, in Audacity? I was going to say, because it sounded... Nope.
It's not going to be like bad, but what you are hearing right now is what they're going to hear.
I hear right now sounds pretty all right.
Yeah, it's fine. It's serviceable. Like, it's just not going to be as crisp as normal. And I just realized that.
Well, I think it's decent enough. There was a point where it sounded like you maybe got up from your desk and started.
I did do that.
Walkie talkie moment. Yeah,
I did that specifically because that was when I realized that I was like, I'm not recording with my normal microphone. That's when I realized. And so I got up to test to make sure that it wasn't my laptop, which would have been really bad, and to make sure that it was in fact my headphones, which is like the least bad option.
If this recording is compromised, we will not do this again. Next Tuesday's episode, this episode will be nothing but a future Sam being like, fuck this.
Listen, sorry, I'll even it's a give bad you a song.
Future Adam episode, like a future Adam recording of fuck this.
Well, let's like take 10 minutes when we record Love in the Middle of Firefight to be like, here's 10 minutes of just us saying this is a really bad song. Goodbye. Yeah.
God.
But we're done with this one. Yeah, fucking
survived, man.
Yeah, we survived.
I'm truly glad that like this was an experience that we could live together, and neither of us had to neither of us had to fight to defend it in any way.
Yeah, sometimes that's nice.
It can be. I just don't think it would have worked for this song. Like you have won me over, and my wife has won me over on other songs. This could have never been it. Like this would have not been that song. If it was that song, I would have been convinced that you're brainwashing me through the fucking headphones. Like there is no way, rightfully, this would have happened. You use the voice like some Muad'Dib fucking Wizak Hadarach shit. No, thank you. We watched Dune. Dune's coming out in 3 days. I'm excited.
Yeah, 3 days from when we're recording. Is it 3 or is it? I thought it was coming out on the 4th. Or am I crazy?
No, I wonder if it pre-releases a little early because it's fucking everywhere here this weekend. Like all the fucking theaters are doing it. Kind of debated on doing the IMAX, but I kind of don't want to pay for the whole family to go to IMAX because Rebirth comes out this week and your boy's cheap.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So, what the fuck? Fuck this fucking song. If any famous person does listen to this, and it's Travie McCoy specifically, I'm sorry, but you fucked up.
I honestly... Get Travie McCoy on the horn. I really hope he did listen to this, and maybe we'll stop making such music. That's too mean. That's too mean.
It is.
I fully believe that anybody should be allowed to express themselves freely as long as the stuff that is being expressed is not hateful.
I poo-pooed it, but I think like if you did take inspiration from the song, that's cool. And I guess I don't want to undercut people out here trying to come off bad. I don't want to like undercut anybody trying to sell inspiration or give off inspiration is maybe the best way to put that. But for the love of God, go read a fucking book or something.
I love you. Bye.
I love you. Bye.
Jesus Christ, Adam.